Hello there, this is Bill Bauman. Can anybody hear me?
We can.
Hi, Bill. Yes.
Yes. Oh, it's a happy day. Yay. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
I think Donna will be getting on the phone in just a minute.
Hey.
Hey, how is everybody?
Good.
Wonderful.
Good. Oh,
just
that's
fine.
Too good.
Bill, I wanted to say I'm Suzanne from Ohio, and I really enjoyed that weekend I spent with you in Austin.
Oh, thank you, Suzanne. That was just precious. Thank you. Yeah. Well, this is going to be another wonderful hour because, you know, I'm all pumped and charged here, so you have to watch out for me.
Oh, boy.
Are you on here, Donna?
I am.
Oh,
hi,
hello.
Everybody.
Hi, Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Yeah, see, that's not fair. They were much more enthusiastic when they said hi to you than they were to me. I've often said, and I should say I've joked, but maybe it's true, that people really like me until they meet Donna. Then they really like Donna, and they put up with
you
me.
You are naughty.
Oh, whoopee, it's going to be a wonderful night. Oh.
This is all going to go.
Yay. Well, let's see. Is it I think by my watch, it is just 7 o'clock. Is it about time to start?
Yep.
Okay. I am going to, let's see. I've got little notes here about everything I should do. Yes, I've got it. Broadcast button is on. Okay, I'm in good shape here. Everybody can hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. I want to apologize for my trusty voice. I've been doing a lot of speaking in public the last few weeks, and my trusty little voice is just a little gravelly. So that doesn't mean that I'm growling at you for the whole night. So what I would love to do is just turn this over to Donna to introduce this. And again, I'm just so happy that you're here. So, Donna, you are on.
Okay. Well, I just want to welcome everybody tonight, and it's an hour each month that we really look forward to. And it's great when we hear all of your voices chiming in, and I always say a thank you prayer for technology when this happens. So without any further ado, I want to tell you about tonight's topic. It sounds like it's going to be a very interesting evening. And then the topic that Bill has chosen for tonight is the many-faceted you. And so with that, I'll talk to you all after the talk is finished. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, thank you so much, Donna. Mm-hmm. You know, as we start, what I'd love to do is invite all of us to mute our phones. So if you would just one time press *6, that will work, except for Eleanor, because I'm going to try to mute my phone here, as I just did now. And then, Eleanor, would you say something? Just hopefully I won't be able to hear you. Oh, it worked. So I can't hear Eleanor, which means I've muted my phone. And as Donna said, technology has won the day. It is just a magnificent evening. So I really, really, really welcome you to this time. I warned you a little up front that, you know, I may be just a little... what do I want to say? Humorous here tonight, and I may not be because I've prepared a talk that is a little more philosophical. But anyway, what I'd love to do is talk with you today about what Donna introduced as the many-faceted you. And the subtitle of that I came up with is Becoming Aware of the Many Dimensions and Dynamics of Yourself. Now, I know that sounds a little philosophical and a little etheric, perhaps, but what I'd love to do is make it as meaningful and as personal and as inspirational and as transformational as possible for each of us. So come with me, if you will, because I'd love to spend this time just hanging out with you in all the realms of you. As you know, if you've been with me enough, I am basically in awe of not just the human scene and not just the earthly scene, but all the scenes of life, the universal scene, the primal scene, the interpersonal scene, the interconnectedness of all life, every facet of life. It amazes me. And what amazes me about it is not just how it's out there and it's over there and it's doing this around us, but how each and every one of us is an intimate part of it and how it's an intimate part of us. And I've come to believe, just from my own experience, not from anything I've read so much, I've come to believe that everything that we have ever seen, sensed, experienced, had a sense of, is as much a part of us, that is, as a part of you, as much a part of you as it is a part of the life outside and around us. So let me ask you this. Have you ever taken time just to tune into all the facets, all the realms, all the dynamics, all the dimensions of this being called you? Well, today what I'd love to do is take all of us on a bit of a guided tour. And it's a tour of yourself. And I'd like to explore all the dimensions of life that live in you, but especially that live in you as you. I think we so often get lost in, let's say, one aspect of life. That is the daily survival, accomplishment, doing aspects of daily living, which, of course, are compelling, and they call us, and they're important. And as a result, we often don't notice what an amazing world we live in ourselves, as ourselves, or maybe I should say what an amazing set of worlds live in us. And I've often thought, you know, if each of us just could every day travel through some of the many realms of life that live in us, we would, as we go about that daily living, we would just live in a state of amazement, a state of awe, a state of respect, a state of basic adoration of all life, especially all life as it's in the perceptual field, the conceptual field, the experiential field that is you and me. So let me ask you this question. Who are you? Now, as you savor that question, who are you? What comes to mind when you hear it? And let me just ask a subset of questions in terms of your response. For example, in your inner response to that question, who are you, is the response narrow or vast? How much does your inner answer focus on you, the individual, or you, the universal self, the self that's connected to the vast universe around you? Or does your definition of yourself include, let's say, the human family or other life forms? Or does it include nature or the divine or the cosmos or the ancient ones who've lived in this space or all other invisible facets of life, the angelic realm, the little nature sprites, etc.? Or again, is it mostly you, the individual? I'm asking these questions just to give a little hint as to the fact that if we really, really just hang out in the amazing, remarkable self that each of us is, it's a veritable sound and light show. It's a remarkable, astounding display of all the goods and gifts and expressions of life that live anywhere and everywhere, and they're all very, very, very much right here in you and me. You know, I was working out in my trusty garage this morning, and I've got this little bit of workout equipment there. And I know you're all impressed. You think, oh, now I understand why Bill is this amazing hunk of muscle. But fortunately, you have your phones muted, and I can't hear all the applause and the oohs and the ahs. So anyway, I was working out, and I was listening to a CD by a fellow by the name of Bill Harris, a colleague of mine. And he's the president and director of the Centerpoint Research Institute. And he's come up with and invented what he calls the HoloSync technology. And it's basically a technology that puts sound and tones and music and vibrations into the brain in order to affect the brain waves. And as I was listening to his talk this morning, he was basically talking about what we all know about, which is that there are four levels of brain wave functioning. The first is beta, the second alpha, the third theta, and the fourth delta. And, of course, the beta waves are basically the style of and the level of activity of our brain just in our more what we call normal functioning, our basic dualistic thinking. And that's where we're, you know, deciding what to have for dinner and, you know, deciding what we're going to do as our next project at work and that kind of thing. And then as we go deeper, if you will, or more profoundly into the brain, and as we invite our brain to function at the next level of depth, we go to the alpha waves. And that's the level that oftentimes is right, just the time right before we're falling asleep or just after we're waking up, that time where the brain moves into a little bit more of a neutral zone, where it's a little more balanced and we're not nearly as concerned. We don't have the anxiety or the tensions that we have in the beta wave zone. And then we move into the theta waves, and that, of course, is the state we have when we're dreaming. Not just sleeping, but dreaming. And that's where we enter the world of the subconscious. And that's where our brain brings us into connection with, where we have access to all the world of the unconscious, the world of symbols, the world of pictorial connections with every other human being in life. And then we go even deeper, beyond the state of dreams, even where dreams can't live, and that's the delta waves where, according to the research, our right and left brain reach a point of absolute equal activity, of absolute unified connection. And that's the world where we access the unconscious. Not just our own unconscious, but that's where we access the patterns and the software of our whole human connection. And of course, that level of the unconscious is where we're all creating the world together. And so that's the delta level. Now, if I remember when I get a little farther in this talk, I want to come back to this and add a fifth dimension. And if I forget it, then I forget it, but what the heck. You know, it could be that one of those great moments of life, like, oh boy, a new invention, a fifth level of brain functioning, and I forget it, and it just goes unnoticed forever, and just think what a loss it would be for the world. Okay, I'll stop talking about that. So anyway, through all of these four levels of functioning, it's occurred to me that, and I even wrote this part down. I just put a little notes for some other things, but I wrote this part down, and I'd like to read it to you. It's like one sentence. Through our brain and electrical system, and in fact, I think through our whole set of or levels of awareness, we can access any and every world, internal and external. And we not only can access it, we can participate in it. Again, participate in any and every world, any and every style of functioning, any and every expression of life, internal or external, and not only access it, not only participate in it, but we can become it because it's already us. So, if you will, come with me because I'd like to explore that all much further. First of all, I'd like to share with you what my vision is. And again, if you've hung out with me just enough, you know this pretty well. I tend to view our whole world, the whole world that we know, as a hologram. It's a hologram of a much vaster, little understood, universal essence. And of course, there's that ancient Eastern saying that all there is God and everything else is a story. Or everything else is just a projection of or a holographic expression or manifestation of that essence, just that essential self that is the infinite. And in that sense, as I see it, we, you and I, we're the equivalent of like characters in a dream in which all life is, again, just holographically dreaming itself in every possible configuration, with every possible style of creation. So if we think about that, all life in every dimension, universal, earthly, down at the core of our being, in every realm, all life in every dimension at every level is present in you and me, is living as you and me. Yes, because we are this holographic imprint of all life, everything that is lives in you, in me, and in fact, we're that vast, we're that huge, we're that enormous, we're that one with everything that is, and if we show up to it, if we let ourselves become aware of it, if we wake up to the truth of who we are, we can literally, again, access, feel, experience, know, grasp, and become infinitely one with everything that is, and we can go through our life being that big, that vast, that dynamic. And, of course, for the smaller self that we are and the daily functioning that we have, we can reach into the treasure chest of all that vastness and bring into the smaller aspects of our lives everything that we need because we know that we're that big. So you can see from my tone that I'm really excited about this. You know, there are so many books these days about awakening and waking up. There's Arjuna Ardal's book about the translucent revolution. I forgot the name of it for just a second there. And I'm just reading a book that one of you just gave to me, which is by Adyashanti. It's his latest book. And again, he's talking about the importance of just waking up from the dream, waking up from the ways that we've come to believe in our mind that we're much, much, much smaller than who we are. And so the reason I'm excited about this is that to me, this is all about waking up, just waking up to the truth that's, in a sense, right under our noses, the truth that's living right in us. It's like Dorothy and Oz went through all the tortures and the challenges of Oz, only to find at the end that she had the magic slippers. She had that power to take care of all her own needs on her feet right from the very beginning. And I feel the same way with you and me and us, that we've got in us every facet of life, the whole universe and earth and all of its gifts and its powers and its wonders. We've got it all right here. And just because we've used that 5% or 10% or 15% of our brain functioning and of our mind power that gives us certainly a really good awareness of the smaller, more individualistic aspects of ourselves, just because of that, we've forgotten. We've forgotten that the ruby red slippers of all life's vastness is right here in ourselves, in our brain, in our minds, in our nervous systems, in our bodies, in our energies, in our vital life force, in our consciousness and awareness. To me, it's so amazing. So I feel like this talk that we're having right now, you and me, and I'm picturing this talk as just you and me sitting in a quiet living room in front of a fireplace, just opening to the bigger truth of life, just inviting the bigger truth of life to come in. And what this talk is about to me is it's about awakening. It's about waking up to the truth that, wow, you are just a hugely, remarkably amazing self. And the self you are that's so amazing is that you are the divine. You are the infinite. You are the earth in all of her, his, its manifestations. You are all the other dimensions of life beyond this universe that we're aware of. You're everything that is. And because of that, you and I and we hold the secret of life in ourselves. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to very briefly, though it probably will take a whole 5 or 6 minutes, I'd like to walk us through just, several elements of, several facets of what this self is, just to sort of tickle our fancy a little bit, not to go into any depth about it. But I wrote down here that there are 6 aspects of our self that I would just like to quickly walk ourselves through. And the first is the womb self. The second, your elemental self. The third, your energy self. The fourth, your collective self. The fifth, your light self. And the sixth, your soulful self. And just briefly, your womb self. That is, imagine this. You spent several months before you were born in the womb. And what did you specialize in there? You specialized in cellular life. You started as one cell and it multiplied into 2. And so for quite a while, you were just cellular. You took the basic bacterial quality of life and through its creative possibilities, you became a cell. And so already, even today, deep in the core of you, you know yourself as a cellular being. You know the pulsatings and the neutrons and the protons and the electronic quality of life because you specialized in that at some time, and that life, that cellular life, lives in you big time, full time right now. And in that same way, in that womb, you were truly an amphibian. You were just like a fish is in the water, surrounded by and taking your nurturing from that amniotic fluid. You were just like a fish that knew the power and the wonder of water and the possibility of water to feed you and nurture you. And so you specialized in water, and so you know, just like a fish knows water, you know what all life under the sea is. And indeed, you were also developing at that time your reptilian self, and so anything that is reptilian and primal, you know it. You know it because you are it, even though you've developed way beyond those levels. Those levels of life, those facets of life live in you. So the fish are not just in the aquariums and in the oceans. The reptiles are not just sort of on the ground and on the beach. They're you also. That lives in you, and they're still a part of and an expression of who you are. And second, your elemental self. We all know what the elements are. They're the earth, the air, the fire, and the water. And I've already talked about how you know the water, and you know, science from a physical perspective says that we're, 80-some percent water or 90-some percent water. And so the water vibration of life is who you are, and if you just would hang out in the water of you, that water would speak and express in ways that would just leave you in awe of this water self that you are. The earth self, you're so much carbon, and if you just hung out in the earthiness of you, in the primal fabric of your body, you would really just not only notice but celebrate the fact that, wow, all the earth, this whole earth, lives and expresses as you in your body. And the same thing with the air. We know that we breathe the air, but have you ever thought that with every bit of air or prana or chi or vital life force that you breathe into yourself, that becomes you? If, as the funny saying goes, that we become what we eat, then every day, every minute, every second, we're breathing and eating air, and that air is us. And that air gives us not just a connection with and a partnership with the whole atmospheric environment around us, but it's also a doorway into the heavens. And fire, our electrical system, our nervous system, just brings the fire energy of life into us. And that fire moves in us and through us, and all four of these elements are just rich within us. And so as you're following with me in these words, I'm hoping that you're also just giving yourself the permission to feel, experience, know, and become aware of how the richness of life lives in you as all of these. And then your energetic self, your energy self, the third aspect of the human you that I'd just like to walk us through. In your energy, as you know, you feel. And we have feelings where we feel the vibrations of life, the resonances of the world around us and in us. We feel emotions. We feel love. We feel power. We feel creative energy. Our whole energetic self is not only aware of, but a partner in, a part of all the vibrations of life. So the vibrations of the animals, the vibrations of the earth, the vibrations of the chi around us, the vibrations of those we live with, the vibrations of every human being, our own vibrations, we have these. That's all a part of who we are. What a remarkable, remarkable self you are. The fourth aspect I'd like to move us through is your collective self. When I was talking about Bill Harris's four levels of brain functioning, I talked about one of them being that leads us into the subconscious arena, and another the unconscious. And just briefly, we are subconsciously connected to all life. Our shared symbols, our shared experiences, our shared creations that live at that subconscious life, they live in us and they speak to us. They speak to us in our dreams. They speak to us in our daydreams. They speak to us in our right brain through all the symbols and pictures and just all the movements that come to us in those spaces. At the unconscious level, to me, the unconscious is an amazing realm. It's a realm where we're one with every other human being and all life. It's where the archetypes of life live and have their activity. It's where all the basic myths and stories of life live and move and influence us. It's where we as human beings create our destiny. That unconscious world is rich and alive and vibrant, and we create our world together in unity at these deep levels. And you and I are those worlds. They're as much a part of us as the conscious world is, and again, we can access them and know them and celebrate them and master them and become gigantic participants in one with all the activity that they are. And the more conscious and aware we are of those, the more we celebrate them, the more we participate in them, the more we are powerful influencers of their outcomes. The fifth part of us that I'd like to express is your light self. Light. Light, as we know, is the basic creator of the hologram. It's that force that brings all life into our consciousness, into our awareness, into our bodies. We're aware from just all the quantum research that we are all at least 99% light. And as light, we're a part of all life. Light is the hologram. Light gives us access to our oneness with all life. So oneness and light are hand in hand. Light is, if you will, the translator of, the voice of, the expressor of, the language of oneness. And then finally, our soulful self, the sixth facet of you that I want to just take a moment and speak about, is that precious commodity that we call our soul. Because to me, our soul is not just the voice of oneness, it's the voice of essence. At the soul level, we're aware we are all life. It's not just we're aware of it. It's not just that we're connected to it. It's that we are it. We are that very essence out of which the hologram of life comes. And it's in that sense that without being blasphemous in the least, we can say we are divine. We are God, Goddess. So we have, just in this brief expression, we have our womb self, our elemental self, our energy self, our collective self, our light self, and our soulful self. And there are many, many other ways that we could talk about all the other worlds that we live in. These are facets of ourselves that if we just every day, and imagine yourself doing this, just spent 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 minute, just accessing all of that, just calling ourselves, whether through those levels of the brain waves, or just through our thinking or thoughts, or just through letting go and letting each one of those connect with us and us with each one of those, and just celebrating that facet or picking one facet every day. Picking, for example, that amphibian me, that, or picking that elemental me, let's say the water me, or the feeling me in the energy, or my unconscious creative self that's one with all life. And just maybe pick one of those a day and just let myself, just feel into it, just connect with it, just have a relationship with it. And imagine if we picked 30 of those and then one day every month just became one with what that was and spent 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or however long you want, or just 1 minute, just in intimate communication with, oneness with, participation in, sort of face-to-face conversation with exactly what that is. Wow, wouldn't that be something? And then repeat that the next month and find different ways that each one of those wants to let us know that it is a dynamic, rich part of who we are. Wow, so I think I'm ready, and I did remember it now, to put my addition to the beta, alpha, theta, delta brainwave theory. I'd like to add the next level of brainwave. Remember the research that says that most of us use only 5 to maybe at most 15% of our brain power. Well, let's assume that if we move from beta, tip of the iceberg, down to the last one, the delta brainwave theory, that past that 5 to 15% that those four levels represent, that there's a fifth level that will take us into the whole next level of what the brain is. and I've come up with a name for it. I'm calling it the Sigma level. After all, we're doing the Greek thing, beta, alpha, theta, delta, so we might as well go to Sigma. And I know you're sitting there saying, Bill, why Sigma? Well, I'm so glad you asked. If you hadn't asked, I probably wouldn't have said. But why Sigma? Because Sigma stands for soul or spirit. Or if I were being really ridiculous about it, I could say it might stand for silly, but I won't really go there. So Sigma stands for soul or spirit. It's the soul level or the spirit level. In other words, through the soul, we not only can access and participate in, for example, the world of the subconscious and the unconscious, but through that world of the unconscious, which is that delta level, there's a doorway into the soul. And through the soul, we know that we are all aspects, dimensions, qualities, gifts of life. And we not only can live there, but we can be it. There is, I think, that level of awakening, that doorway into the bigger, deeper, fuller truth of us. As much as we can live in our individuality, and that's pretty much the beta level, as much as we can live in the alpha and the theta and the delta levels, that is, in the subconscious, in the unconscious, we can live in the solar level, in the soul level, the sigma level, in every facet of who we are. Just think about that. Imagine that. That, to me, is what makes life awesome. That we're not just relegated to some small little box of I, Bill, the individual, or you, the individual self, locked into a certain set of beliefs or a certain set of patterns or a certain mindset or a certain bunch of habits. No, indeed, we've got that, but we've got a much, much bigger self that there's a true invitation in life to play in. So let's go back to the question, who are you? My answer, you are vast. You are all life, all the way from the itsy-bitsy creepy-crawlies to the vast divine essence of life. And in that sense, holographically, you are a remarkable manifestation of the amazing universe. On a daily basis, then, and this, I think, is my conclusion, I'd like to suggest that all of us remind ourselves of the all that we are. Even if my notion of myself as small is still hanging out there on the front burner, or even if the demands of my daily living preoccupy my thoughts, or even if my old notions of who I am, the smaller ones, don't want to let go, just remind myself of the all that I am. And remember this, because you are everything, automatically, by nature, you hold within yourself all of life's power, all of life's light, all of life's mystery, all life's majesty, all life's wonder, all life's love, all of life's creative possibilities and dynamics, all of life's beauty, and all of life's gifts. So whether the world we live in is a hologram or a reality, whether it's a dream or a state of awakeness, whether it's illusion or truth, whatever life is, anywhere and everywhere, you and I are it. You and I are everything. And in conclusion, our birthright, our destiny, is to grow into that truth, to own that truth as our truth, and to live it at every moment. I thank you so much for hanging out with me in these concepts. To me, they're not concepts. They are as huge, as big, as immense, as wondrous a reality as is possible on this earth, and maybe much, much more than that, beyond what I'm even aware of. But in the way I am privileged to live my life, I experience that oneness, and I just don't feel privileged in sharing it with you. I feel privileged in being that voice of life that invites you to this bigger truth of who you are. And so what I'd love to do at this point is I am going to unmute my phone right there, and I'm going to dedicate the next 10 minutes or 15 minutes to all of us. And this is our time for any of us who are here to share. And I want to say I apologize for not up front like we usually do, just having you introduce yourselves. I was just, I guess, so excited to get into this that I didn't ask you to say, hi, this is so-and-so from wherever. But what I'd love you to do is keep your phones muted, if you will, unless you feel like sharing something. So this is our time to inspire each other, maybe even to mentor each other, or just to share whatever you feel like sharing that might be meaningful to you but you think might also be meaningful to us. And that can be a personal sharing, or it can be a theoretical sharing, or whatever you want it to be. The one thing I do ask, and I will force myself to follow through with it, is that you not ask me any questions, because this is our time for each other. So anybody who feels like sharing something, please unmute your phone, press that *6, and then just let us know who you are and where you're from, and then whatever you feel like saying.
Hi, Bill.
Yes.
I am Mary. My name's Mary. This is my first time.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, and I live in Asheville, and the other Mary told me about you.
Oh, that's silly Mary, yes.
That's silly happy Mary.
Yes.
And what I'd like to share is my experience that beyond the light there is resonance, and maybe this is in the
mm-hmm.
sigma that you're talking about.
Yes, please go ahead.
It's a deep expanding resonance that creates the light. And it's a resonance with everything. And you can pay attention to different aspects of it. It's large, it's small, it's everywhere.
Mm.
In many dimensions. You can go into many, many dimensions with it. And rather than seeing it as light, though, I don't know how else to describe it other than resonance.
Mm. I love that, Mary. I love the word resonance, that, and I'm not trying to be funny here, that resonates with me and my own experience deeply. And I feel like each of us is privileged to have just a unique, not only perception, but experience of every aspect of life. And I really honor and appreciate that that experience of resonance is yours. And thank you so much for sharing that with
mm-hmm.
us.
Thank you.
Great, yes. And anybody else want to share anything?
You?
Yes.
This is Valerie from Austin.
Hello, Valerie.
Can I read something from the Upanishad? It's very short, and I hope that everybody will understand my accent. So open your heart and not your ears.
I would love it. And anyone with a French accent just melts me, so you go right ahead.
Okay. So, okay, listen up, everybody. It's just too beautiful for me to keep for myself. So here it goes. If someone says to you, in the fortified city of the imperishable, our body, there is a lotus, and in this lotus a tiny space, what does it contain that one should desire to know it? You must reply, as vast as this space without is the tiny space within your heart. Heaven and earth are found in it, fire and air, sun and moon, lightning and the constellations. Whatever belongs to you here below and all that doesn't, all this is gathered in that tiny space within your heart. That's it. It's just beautiful, and it shows how vast we are. We are as big as a cosmos, basically.
My goodness, Valerie, thank you so much. That is absolutely exquisite. That is such a poetic way of expressing beautifully what I feel like this hour is about. I do have a favor to ask, if you feel like it, if you could email that over to Eleanor. I would love to have us put that on our website.
Yes, I will. It's from the Chandogya Upanishad, and there is a number. So it's by my bedside, in my kitchen, in my wallet. It's just a reminder every day. I'm so happy you are talking about that tonight, because that's my reality. So, I mean, you see what I mean.
Yes, I did. I did this just for you, Valerie.
Yes, that's what I meant. Thank you, Bill.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, and would someone else like to share with us?
Yes,
Chicago.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
It's JS in Chicago.
Yes, hi JS.
The somewhat silly quality of your voice is very infectious. I found myself during your talk thinking of all the ways I could bring all of those selves into my daily life. Like the minerals in my toothpaste will bring me to my earthy self while I'm brushing my teeth.
Mm.
My water self will be there when I take a shower. My collective self will be there when I'm sitting in traffic not moving, along with hundreds of other people who are doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring that to, even just for an instant, just for a moment, anytime. It's so cool. And
wow.
Thanks for reminding me.
You know, you have, I believe, truly captured the essence of what we're talking about. And I love the application, and I so am grateful for you sharing that with us, because I think each of us can take that, and especially into aspects of life where we tend to forget, and we can just just connect with and invite into conscious participation whatever that is. I love it. Thank you so much. And would someone else like to share something? As they say on the radio, the phone lines are open. Or do they say the microphone is open? I don't know what they say. Anyway, if there's someone else, we will gladly hear you. Okay, I apparently not. You know, then the unfortunate part of that is you have to listen to me for the whole rest of the time. Oh, no, it's a terrible thing. But what I would like to do, oh, hold on a second, I will mute my phone once again here. And I'm assuming that's mute. What I would like to do is in just a few minutes lead us in a closing meditative time. It'll be a guided meditation, and just because we're on the phone lines here instead of in person, I'll be talking the whole time. But as always, my words are background music to the much finer and sweeter melodies of your own soul. And before we get to that meditative time, I'd just like to pick up on what JS expressed. And not necessarily give more specific applications, but just say a few words about the gift that this vast self can be to each of us. And I want to invite us, just as I talked about in the meditative time, to listen to these words, but especially be listening to your own soul while I'm talking. My deep sense is that life speaks so many languages. I mean, so many, many languages. As JS talked about, you know, there's the language of water, and there's the language of minerals, and there's the language of air. There's the language of soul. There's the language of the angels. There's the language of the cells. There's the language of the electrons as they create themselves anew every minute in the cells. There's the language of our feelings and our emotions, and the language of our primal self, and the language of our heart, the language of love, the language of creativity. And I could go on and on and on, and I would be willing to bet if we went to the effort, we could come up with 1,000 different languages easily. In other words, languages of life, all the ways that life speaks. And of course, most of us have narrowed our focus on those languages, and we've sort of mastered maybe of the 1,000, if we just pick that number, 1,000, we've mastered 10 or 15 or 20 of those languages. For example, the language of the conscious mind, of rational thought, the language of dreams and symbols, or the language of love or interpersonal connection or intimacy. So maybe we've focused in on or the emotional language, and maybe we're aware of and fairly masterful in relation to those languages. But to me, the beauty of opening up to every language is that what happens is we get expanded. We get taught. We get not just in our minds, but in our whole experiential self, we get moved and opened into larger and larger realities, and we become much more sensitized to all the ways that life works and speaks and is, not just out there, but in ourselves. And then as a result, we come to love ourselves and to love life and to love everyone in ways that are absolutely undeniable and absolutely compelling, and to love ourselves and everyone around in ways where the back door gets locked and we can't move out of that state of love anymore. And then, of course, from there we move into a state of oneness where we just know in the depths of ourselves that no matter what's happening around us or to us, no matter how much in our earlier life it might have seemed like we're being victimized or whatever, that we're totally creative of that experience with and in intimate, unified partnership with the other person or the other situation or the other energy. Whatever it is, just opening to and being aware of and giving a big yes from inside to the invitation to unify with those languages, with that facet of life, is remarkable. So I'd like to put out an invitation to anyone who might feel like, taking it, biting on it, chewing it. And the invitation is this, and I'll go back to what I said earlier. Earlier I said, gee, wouldn't it be interesting if we took 30 or 31 facets of life and just one day each month took X number of minutes, whatever fits into our schedule, and just hung out with that facet of life. And JS gave us a few hints when she expanded some of the facets that I talked about. And maybe in taking those 30, and here's the invitation, maybe take that as a project. Say, okay, I'm going to write down 30. Or maybe you only want to come up with 7 and do it once a week. Or you want to come up with 14 and do it once every 2 weeks and then start it over again 2 weeks later. But to come up with that number of facets of life, and especially ones that maybe you're not that familiar with, that you've forgotten about. Like, for example, if I go back to what I was saying about being in the womb, gee, the me that lives in water, what's that like? And go back to the you, because if you recall just from science, every cell has a water component to it. Every cell has that little bit of amniotic fluid around it. And that's doing to every one of those 100 trillion cells in you, it's doing the exact same thing that amniotic fluid did for you as the fetus in that womb, as the little baby in that womb. And so to become a cell and just feel the water, feel the liquid vibration, and then drink in the nutrients from that and feel the protection of that. And I'm just picking that as one example. And just open to how that water wants to connect with you and how that water wants to invite you experientially into itself. So my invitation is, if you feel like it, to make a list of those, whether it's 7 of them or 14 or 31 or just one. You might want to just take one and stay there every day for 5 minutes or however long, and then see what happens. And then just either as an experiment or as a practice or just as something that you feel like doing. And again, I invite you not to do it unless you really feel like doing it. Just take that time every day, once a day, maybe twice a day, and just see what happens. And then if there's something from that experience that you feel like sharing, then please put that in an email or a letter and send it to us, care of Eleanor, and that address, her email address and our post office box is on our website, which is www.csl.com. CSL, of course, stands for Center for Soulful Living. Because we would love to hear about that experience. And if you feel like once we get the part of our website open that's all about sharing, once that happens, if you would feel like having that on that website, just for the inspiration of everyone else, that would be just such a wonderful thing. So that leads us into probably about a five-minute meditation, because roughly in 5 minutes we're going to hear that little beep where being informed that it's time to start closing this time. So let's take one of those facets. Let's take the facet of your soul. And let's say that for the next 5 minutes, we're just going to show up to, bring our whole attention to, let go into that precious soulful self. During this time, we open to the soul as that personalized, internal resonance of the infinite essence of life. Yes, that essence that is totally self-sufficient, that essence into which everything is subsumed and self-reliant, that essence that needs nothing else except the magnificent dynamic being that it is, lives in us. And we've put the name soul to it. That soul is resonating right now. It's inviting you and me just to be right there in it. That soul is such a beautiful manifestation of the beauty of the divine, of the love of the universe, of the power of life, of the wonder of existence, of the magnificence of the all, and of the mysterious glory of you. That soul, which is your essence and the essence, is embracing you, holding you, if you will, in its truth, the simple truth, not truth expressed conceptually, but the simple truth of life. And in that soul lives a special space of peace, inner peace. In that soul, where we all live as one, lives a special presence. It's a presence of simplicity, of purity, of the essential self. That soul is the real you. And it's speaking now, as we speak. And in its speaking, it's loving. It's just loving. And it's calling you to experience that resonance. It's calling you to notice, participate in, and yes, be drawn so into that essential beauty and peace that you become it. It becomes you. And that real self, peaceful, simple, essential, and filled with just the purest truth of life, is, always was, and always will be, your real, authentic, genuine, most internal self. In it, you feel the purest love of life. In it, you experience the most supportive power of life. In it, you know deepest, deepest truth of life. It's all here. In you, in us, in life. Truly and surely, we are one. One in life's absolute magnificence and a treasure and a beauty. In this ultra simple space where concepts don't exist, where life just is, where we can just be, we know indeed who we are. We experience indeed that life that is. And in this space and from this space, we can live every element, every expression of our life, simple, sweet, genuine, real, authentic, pure, uncluttered, at peace, in unity and harmony. This is the beauty and the nature of that soul that you are, that is the all and the real that you are. As we speak, I'm going to invite us to both stay in this space for as long as you feel moved to stay there, and to let your mind expand into this space, and as much as it's possible to experience this community, this like-souled gathering of the many of us who have come together this evening. And in a moment, I'm going to turn this over to Donna and ask her to conclude this wonderful, wonderful time together. Thank you so much. I am so privileged to be a co-creator with all of you, to share life with all of you, and to invited be the voice that I've been invited to be of life and of us. Donna, would you be willing to take over here and thank us all?
I sure will. First, I want to thank you for giving us such a wonderful sacred hour together. And I want to also thank Mary for her comment about resonance. I think it really spoke to all of us. I want to thank Valerie for her beautiful, heartfelt comment, and JS for bringing it into just every aspect of our living. You made it so real for us. So I invite all of you to stay in this beautiful, mindful place of all the facets of ourselves. And as we enter into the end of this month and the coming month, that we may each day be aware of every aspect and the unity of all. I thank you so much. And if you could just all undo your phones, and maybe we could have just a great goodbye together.
Great. And to unmute your phone, you do a *6. And thank you so much, Donna. This is a wonderful time to just embrace each other, hold each other, love each other, honor each other. And while we say goodbye, really just take each other in our hearts and know our connection, and know how deeply supported and loved and honored we are by each person here over the next many, many days. Thanks, everybody. How about you? Oh, let's see. Did I unmute my phone? Everybody say something. Oh, I guess I need to unmute mine. There. How's that? Oh, there.
There we go.
Hey, goodbye, everyone.
Thank you
so much.
Bye.
Yo, I love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Bill and Donna.
Yummy.
Have a wonderful month.
Have a great month. Yay.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.